Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. This is our second lesson. 2 weeks ago, we began a Sunday school lesson relative to training and exercising the conscience. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that we met with several congressmen and congresswomen that spoke to us, and two of the ladies, one of them said that she was overwhelmed by the number of people that she deals with in Congress who will look you right in the eye, just straight thing, lie to you, go down the hall, speak to another group, say something totally opposite. And they'll walk around with no sting of conscience. She mentioned that as well, about the great frustration being a Christian and giving your word about legislation or your opinion about that, and then someone taking your word and twisting it around and said, yeah, we got support on this, when she said, no, you don't have my support. And going out and just without conscience, lying. One of the greatest gifts that God gave to every human being is the gift of conscience. It's that alarm that Romans chapter 2 talks about that's written in the hearts of all men and women. But it is an instrument that has to be trained. It has to be honed according to biblical principles, or it will be a false alarm. I mentioned about how our smoke alarm, sometimes the battery will go out. They never go out during the day when you're home. They always go out about 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if they've got it programmed to do that, but you'll hear it start chirping, cheep, cheep, cheep. And it gets louder and louder, and you're running around the house checking on everybody. Do we have a fire? Do we have a fire? No, we have a battery that's low. All right? It's a false alarm. Now, it's reminding you got to change out your batteries. Now, if I were really, careful, I would do it on a regularly scheduled basis, but I'm cheap. So, going buying those Duracell batteries every 6 months, well, you know they'll last a year, right? Or maybe even longer than that. So you go a little bit longer, and then it gets you early in the morning, and it raises a false alarm. But you're glad that they're working in the event of what? A real fire. A real fire that could kill your family. So it's important. Even though that smoke alarm sometimes gives a false alarm if a battery gets weak, it's still there to alert. I want to go back to the picture of the road. And I talked about 2 weeks ago about that on the road, there are certain signals on the road that are given to every driver. You've got the lines along the side. You've got the dotted line, which means you can pass, which people like that, especially on a long road like that, you can be able to pass. But these little white lines usually that are painted on the side, does that line keep you from going off into the grass, Kenny? It's there, and if you're alert, it will keep you from going into the grass, right? But if your car starts creeping over, will that white line jump up and stop your car? No. It won't stop it. It'll alert you. Now, by law, they are putting in these grooved reminders on the side. They're called a sleep alert. As you go along the side and your tires hit that, you come back and you put it back into the middle. Right? If you're alert, it'll bring you back in line. But if you're not alert and you're falling asleep and it doesn't wake you up, you're going to go off the side of the road and into the ditch. Now that's the conscience. The conscience doesn't stop you. It alerts you to a problem. So you have to be, you're on the road of life and you're going along. God's given you a gift of conscience. You have a responsibility, according to Acts chapter 24 and verse 16, to always keep your conscience sharp and alert, not built upon traditions that have been handed down from family member to family member, but built upon the Word of God. Now let's go and take a look at this verse. And herein do I exercise myself. Exercise. We're going to talk about that. To always. How often? Always. Now, you would like to always keep your car on the road, inside the lane. But sometimes things come along like sleep deprivation, or a cup of coffee, or your cell phone, which seems to be a major distraction for most people. It's amazing. Because I'm in a truck sitting up high, I can look down and I can see people. And just about every stoplight that I stop at, there's somebody on their smartphone. You know, they'll look up. And usually, they get involved with that, and then I'll take off, and they're still sitting there behind me. And then they'll start moving. They're distracted. They're not paying attention. Now, to always have a conscience, what? Void, empty of offense toward two, toward God and toward man. The last time we looked at some of the words, askeo is the Greek word for exercise. It means to exercise, to take pains, to drill. It means to do something over and over and over again. This word has a note of moral strictness about it. You're going to do what's right. You're going to do what's right. You're going to do what's right. If the stars should fall, I'm going to do what's right. That's this moral strictness. That's behind the word askeo, to exercise the conscience. We looked at always, two words in the Greek, dia pantos. Dia pantos. Remember this from Greek class. We had to learn a lot of these prepositional phrases. Dia was a common word that we saw in our thing. It means to continuously, constantly, ceaselessly, perpetually, eternally work at making sure your conscience is void of offense. You cannot be lazy about the conscience. Yet what we find in most of our churches, what we find in our nation, what we find in our leadership positions are consciences that have been so seared that they no longer alert. They're no longer a moral indicator of where you are. Kind of like you with the snooze button in the morning. Yeah, you get up, boom, go back, crawl back in the bed, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes later, depending on that, comes back on again, and before long it's just beep, 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 and you're just sleeping away. That first alert got you up, but when you hit that snooze, what happens? The sound diminishes, and it doesn't have that alert factor. That's what happens to your conscience. We're to always have a conscience void of offense. The word conscience, synodesin, literally means to know with. The ability to know. It's also translated to be privy to be conscious of, to share in the knowledge of a thing. That's what this word conscience means. So God has given us, even as unsaved individuals, He's given us a gift. There is within us a moral compass that if it's trained and tuned right, will keep you on the right road, will help you. Now, it's not infallible, as we're going to see, but it is an alert system that will help us if we train it correctly. Void of offense, aproskopon, aproskopon. It means without offense, unharmed, uninjured. I found this interesting. This was in the linguistic key of the Greek New Testament. In the papyri, it is used to refer to the maintenance of an unspoiled record on one's own self-judgment. Were you concerned about your record when you were in the military? Absolutely. You wanted to make sure you had a clean... How many of you served in the military? Okay. So are you concerned about your record? You know, one of the things growing up here at Santa Rosa Christian School, often we were reminded, you don't want that to go on your permanent record. Man, Bill and I know, but boy, we were scared to death. We saw the permanent record as something that was just, it would be life-shattering. You don't want this to go on your permanent record. You know, like hover over you the rest of your life. Okay? that you scribbled on a piece of paper or something like that. It was always, that reminder was, oh, the permanent record. Well, guess what? Do you know that you have a permanent record? You do. You really do. It's being recorded in heaven. And God gave you the gift of conscience to help you to stay in between the lines on the road of life. Isn't that wonderful? But you got to keep it. You got to keep it sharp. Just like a vehicle going down the road, you got to keep up with the oil changes. You got to make sure you got the car working properly, that you use good gas in it, that you don't get all the cheap stuff that causes your car not to run properly or won't start. You've got to maintain the conscience. Let's go on. Toward two things, toward God and toward man. I have a responsibility to both. You know, I've heard some preachers say, you know, we got to maintain our conscience for God, but don't forget, what else is our conscience maintained for? It's for men. Listen, one of the things I've learned in 30 years of ministry is that you don't run roughshod over people. I'm going to be held to account of how my conscience reacted not only to my God who saved me, but to the people I ministered to. My conscience. I got to live with that. Paul said, I've been very careful about my conscience. Even whenever I was unsaved, I was careful. I wanted to be careful about my conscience toward God and even toward men. Now, he ordered the murders or killings of people. But in his own mind and in his own conscience, he was doing what? He was being faithful to his conscience because that's the way it had been trained. When he got saved, his conscience had to be retrained. Now let's go on. Our conscience is only helpful if it's trained correctly. It's only helpful if it's trained correctly. For instance, Paul thought it was okay to murder Christians. His conscience had been trained that way. Was it right? No, it was wrong. But his conscience alerted him that he needed to stand for his principles and his belief system. And anybody that didn't stand for that, they weren't worthy to live. That was the way his conscience had been trained. Paul had to live with himself and therefore sought to preserve an unclouded relationship with the Lord and with his fellow men at all times. He was falsely accused in chapter 24 of Acts of insurrection. That's what they accused him of. That's why he had been brought before Felix, accused of insurrection. His conscience, though, would never allow him to do that. And that's what he's saying to Felix. I'm not guilty of insurrection. My conscience wouldn't let me do that. Do you have a conscience that's so dependable that you can relate to that and use that? My conscience won't let me do that. My conscience won't let me be unfair to people. I couldn't live with myself. That's a conscience that's been trained. This has been forgotten in the church today. Why? Because we want to do what we want to do. I had a good conversation with Brother Wingrove. He was talking about the number of churches in his travels. I asked him this. Said, this alcohol question, what have you noticed? He said, oh, it's so sad. So sad. He said, some of the churches 16 years ago that I went to and got support from have now flip-flopped. He said, it's interesting how many churches have pastors that only stayed a short while, then became alcoholics after they had changed their policy and had to leave the pastor. Now, the Bible is so clear. Look not upon the wine when it is red. Don't look at it. And yet today, we've lowered our thinking. We don't follow the Bible. Our conscience becomes weak. We say, oh, well, we'll have no problem with it. We can control our alcohol intake. Yeah. I forget the name of the lady that was on ABC's 2020, but she took a year hiatus from 2020 because of her alcohol dependence. It all started, she said, with one glass of wine. And she told herself, I can control this. She admitted this on national television after she became an alcoholic. She was one of those closet alcoholics that would go off for a period and then come back in and try to do her job. It got to the point where she was passing out in her car. She said her child woke her up while she was driving. She was drunk. And she said, I've got to do something about this. And of course, she's not a believer. She doesn't give any indication of that. But she was able to, I guess, get control of that. And she said, I had to just stop drinking. But I told myself I could control it. Just one. I can control it. No, you can't. God knows your heart. God knows you. Don't think you can know more than God. Like some of these churches today that are going down that pathway, and they're going right into liberalism. They're going right into liberalism. The one church that I mentioned about when we were doing our alcohol series has already lost half of its congregation. Half of its congregation. So what they started to do was started to appeal to the younger millennials to try to get them, so they changed their music policy. Okay? So they could bring in the music that would attract that group. But it's not working. It's not working. The more that they've lowered their standard, the ones that were hanging around, not sure, guess what they're doing? They're leaving. They're leaving. Why should they go there to have compromised standards when they can go to the church right next door that has had those standards for years, the compromised standards? Why would I do that? And some of them say, no, I'm not going to go that way, so they go to another church. You see how important conscience is? Make sure it's trained properly according to the Word of God. Romans 2, 14 through 16 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Do you know God wrote some of the law in their hearts? There's a natural thing within each one of us. We don't like to be cheated. Right? Now, we don't mind cheating somebody else. Now, is there honor among thieves? I don't know about that saying. Yeah, we don't like to be cheated. Hey, I didn't get all my income tax money back. I want to know what happened here. Or somebody cheats you. Remember the old meat markets? When I was a kid, Mom and Dad would send us down to the meat market, right down the road. We'd ride our bicycle down. She said, I want to get a pound of hamburger meat. So we'd go in there. And, you know, I've heard stories of this. I don't know if it happened to us as kids going in there. We couldn't even see the scale, much less, you know, you'd hear him wrapping up the package and then hand it to you. But the stories of those meat markets where they put their thumb on the scale. All right, there you go. And then you'd wrap it up and so forth. They were cheating you. And they were thinking, you know, if I cut them out a little bit, shave off a little bit over the long haul, I'll be making what? Money. And people don't like that. Don't like to be cheated. Where did that come from? That's that law written in the heart. God put it there. We don't like to be lied to. We'll lie, but we don't like to be lied to. Isn't that interesting? How God's written that in our hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. That's what the conscience does. It accuses or it excuses, depending on how it's been what? Trained. How it's been exercised. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Our conscience is not infallible. We've got three passages we're going to look at here. 1 Timothy 1, 5, and then 19 through 20. 1 Peter 3, 16. Hebrews 9, 14. The Timothy section. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a what? What kind of conscience? A good conscience. Well, how do I get a good conscience? I have to train to be a good conscience. I don't have a good conscience before I'm saved. I may have a consistent conscience from the way it's trained, but I may not have a good conscience. There's a big difference. Be careful not to muddle words. The Bible has so much to say about the different types of conscience that we're going to look at here. This is the good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Notice these three things that are to be consistent within the Christian life. A pure heart, a good conscience, and faith that's not faked. That's what unfeigned means. Faith that's not faked. Some people have areas of Christian life that are just not being maintained. We've got three areas to maintain. Our faith should not be just talk. It should be reality. Then later on, in the same chapter, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. He gives two testimonies of people who went away from God. Their conscience and their faith was shipwrecked. Good conscience. 1 Peter 3:16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Because you had a good conscience, you lived a certain way. And when they accuse you of something, you knew it was not right because that's not the way you live. You have a good conscience before God. You know, that's a wonderful way to live. For someone to come and accuse you of that and say, no, that's not the way I live. I don't live that way. I'm not perfect, but I don't do that. Why? Because you maintain a good conscience. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say that. Somebody accused him of something, said, that's not true. I would never do that because I have a conscience against that particular thing. I know that's not true. Now, there may be things that are true, but if you live with a good conscience, you're keeping yourself between the lines on the road of life. Amen? You're keeping yourself between the lines if you have a good conscience, but you have to train it. You have to exercise it. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? There you go. How do I have a good conscience? I keep it purged through the blood of Jesus Christ, from dead works to serve the living God. You got to maintain it. You got to keep it clean before God. Our conscience can be evil. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. And we know it through practical experience. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. By the way, it's interesting that the three things that we just talked about in 1 Timothy, in verse 5, about we're to have a faith unfeigned, we're to have a good conscience, we're to have a pure heart. Here in Hebrews, those three things are still factored in here. Let us draw near with what kind of a heart? A true heart. In full assurance of faith. In other words, unfeigned faith. Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, have a good conscience. You'll find these threes almost everywhere the conscience is mentioned in the Bible. The Bible is consistent with this. A pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Keep those three things in mind. That's the Christian life together. This isn't based upon your definitions. You understand that? This is based upon the Bible's definition of these words. And our bodies washed with pure water. Again, those three things. A pure heart, good conscience, faith unfeigned. Our conscience can be evil. It can be weak. Oh boy. It can be weak. 1 Corinthians 8:7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. It's interesting. That word for knowledge there is the same root word for conscience. Okay? Not in every man is that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being defiled is weak. All right? Here's a person that has a conscience about meat offered to idols. All right? Paul says in Romans chapter 14 that he would go down, or actually in this same passage here, he would go down to the shambles and buy the meat that had been offered. You know, he would buy the meat. It didn't bother him because he didn't serve that nonsense. He served the true and living God. And God had already taught in His Word, remember the animals that were brought down before Peter? And God said, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, my conscience won't let me do it, God. And what did God say? What I've said is clean, is clean. So you get your conscience in line with what I say. Your conscience is weak. You've got it trained according to Judaistic philosophies. I'm telling you it's clean. So this person has a weak conscience. They need to have it strengthened by the Word of God, and we help them. We don't seek to hurt people with a weak conscience. We want to help them have a strong conscience, right? So we're not going to offend them. We want to help them. We're not going to trample all over them and say, you got a weak conscience, you got to buck up. You teach them in the Word. Teach them in the Word. Get them in the Word. And then they begin to realize, you know what? My thinking is wrong. I think all of us can give testimony to the fact that over the years since we have been saved, our conscience has been helped by the Word of God. Amen? It's been helped. You cannot be a consistent Christian and be in the Word of God and your conscience not be helped. It will help you to know, to alert to things that need to be alerted to. But then also to know that some things, even though it may be offered to another idol, it's clean as far as God's concerned. Paul said, you know, I don't eat it in front of this other brother that may be offended, but whenever I'm by myself or with some other groups, I may eat it because it doesn't bother me. It's clean. Our conscience can be weak. Our conscience can be defiled, Titus 1 and verse 15. Under the pure, all things are pure. But under them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. You know why, and this was brought out by Mr. O'Pager, why people do things that they do? Why a teenager would show up to school and try to kill a teacher, which happened this past week, tried to kill another student, and they were caught by the security guard there, taken care of. What would motivate them? Their conscience is what? It's defiled. That is definitely a wrong thing. There's laws against that. It's clearly defined even in the culture that it's wrong. And someone does something. Always note this. Why people do what they do. It's because they have a defiled conscience. Their road has the different paint colors on it, so to speak. Their road says it's all right to do these things because they put the colors down themselves. They've dictated what it is. Be careful, folks. You have to understand about your conscience. Your conscience can go down at any time, just like a computer. You know, it's disappointing. I was on my Kindle last night doing some reading, and all of a sudden it started getting locked up. So I had to go through and shut it down, wait for it to reset, turn it back on again, came back on, then I had to go back and reload everything back on it again to get it to my page where I was at before. Now that's frustrating, isn't it? You spent this money on this piece of equipment, it's not working properly. Same thing with the conscience. You got to keep it right. You got to stay on top of things. And by the way, that burden is on you and me. Well, God, you just keep my conscience. No. He's told you to do that. He's told you to that. What is it? Pure heart, good conscience, faith unfeigned. Now, will God help you with those things? Absolutely. But it's your job to read. He's not going to read the Bible for you. He's not going to study the Bible for you. Is He? That's not His business. That's your business. You have a responsibility to do that. Conscience can be defiled. Sadly, a conscience can be seared. You have to go to the cattle drives. Aunt Carolyn can tell you a little bit about that, living out in Kansas. The old cattle drives where they would go and then they would round up all the new birth animals to put the mark on them, the brand on them, to sear the hide so that that seal was forever on that animal, that belonged to such and such ranch, Triple R Ranch or whatever it would be. They'd put that brand on there. Well, you know what? You can sear your conscience in the same way if you're not careful. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. Now get this. This is putting it in our time, in the latter times. What's going to happen to the conscience? Why are we speaking on this issue? Because of what's happening in our day. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their what seared with a hot iron, their conscience. We're living in that day. We're living in the latter times. And we're finding this to be true more and more, that people give heed to seducing spirits, things that they know are wrong, but they convince themselves it's okay. like the alcohol issue. And it's going to spread to other things. It's already doing that. It's been music for a long time. Now it's spreading into alcohol. What other vices are going to be legalized within the church? You know why that's true? Because someone is taking a hot iron, and sometimes it's a preacher standing up in a pulpit. And he takes a hot iron and he starts searing away at the consciences of his people, trying to open them up to false doctrine and hypocrisies and lies. Listen, you need to hold this preacher accountable. Okay? You need to hold this preacher accountable. I'm going to have to give an account one day. I'm going to have to stand before God. And I'm going to have to give an account of what I taught the people of Grace Bible Church. And if I teach error, I need to be called on the carpet. Because you know what will happen if I'm not? If you don't stand up for what's right? You know, it's taken some of these churches a while for it to sink in where a church is headed, where they're going with their doctrine, where they're going with their teachings, and some people just sit there like sheeple and just do whatever. But some people say, you know, this isn't right, and they'll go to their pastor, hey, this isn't right. And a lot of times, because a pastor hasn't been held to account for some time, they just say, whatever I say is true. You just take it as truth. A preacher that would say, whatever I say is truth, you take it as the same thing as doctrine, is a liar. Anything I have to say is my opinion. Anything that God says in His Word is absolute truth. You can stand on it. You can live by it. You can die by it. It's absolute truth. And if I say something that's contrary to the truth, I ought to be held account to that. Because your conscience is at stake. This is important. Your pure heart is at stake. Your faith unfeigned is at stake. If you're given a steady diet of things which are not truth, your conscience can be seared. What happens to an animal whenever the brand is put on the hide? Okay? Does the hair grow back? No. It's gone. The hair follicles are forever seared. They don't grow back. That mark is there. And the same thing is true of your conscience. If you don't keep it pure, you don't keep it right, you don't constantly feed on the Word of God, you will move into the territory of the seared. And you can't get it back. Can't get it back after that. Our consciences must be maintained and exercised in biblical truth. Notice this, 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You know where the end is? If you don't maintain a good conscience, shipwreck. Shipwreck. You know, the Apostle Paul, I think, was shipwrecked twice in the Scripture. Is that correct? If I remember correctly. He tells about that in the book of Acts, about the number of times that he had been shipwrecked. To have the ship that you're on run upon the rocks and be battered, and you have to be let down overside and swim to shore. A cruise ship near Italy that ran up on the rocks several years ago. They just were able to get that thing off of the rocks. It took a year of work and engineering to get it pulled up and get it afloat, and then install enough pumps to pump the water out so they could get it back to port. Hundreds of lives were affected. People were killed. You know the first person off the boat? The captain. He was already on shore, and everybody else is still on the ship. Okay? You know where the shipwreck took place first? In the captain's heart and life. He wasn't captaining that ship. He was partying and drinking and not doing his job and not making sure his crew was doing their job, and he put the whole ship in jeopardy and ran it up on the rocks. Okay? That's what happens when you don't keep the conscience and stay on the right road all the way through to the end when we stand before the Lord. You'll be shipwrecked. Hebrews 3:7-8, harden not your hearts as in the wilderness. That's a problem. Hardening your heart. Every time you don't read your Bible, your heart gets a little harder. You know what goes in and pounds the rocks up? It's the Word of God. It's the sledgehammer. goes in there and starts crushing the rock of your heart, tenderizing it. You got to keep it malleable in the presence of the Lord. There's that road. There are the lines on the road that speak of conscience. Dotted line in the middle separates two lanes of traffic. Vehicles weighing up to 10 to 25 tons on one side and your vehicle on the other. What keeps you from colliding with them? It's awareness. It's not the yellow line's there and it's alerting you, stay on your side. But you have to follow the line and stay in the middle. Right? That's the conscience. You start messing with the lines, you're not going to know what's your road. You've got to be pure. We want to stay in our pathway so we can make it all the way to the presence of God and be able to stand before Him and be able to say with the Apostle Paul, that's quite a testimony in Acts 24, and is it? I have sought always to have a conscience void of offense before God and before men. Do we have that testimony? I pray that we do. Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray that You would use it to work in our hearts and lives. Lord, we're living in the latter times, and we know what Your Word has said about the latter times and the conscience, that people will have a conscience defiled, and therefore they will entertain false doctrine. They will entertain the vices of the world and convince themselves that they're fine. And then they'll end up shipwrecked. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. Lord, we want to stay on the right road and we want to stay between the lines. Thank You for conscience, and I pray that we might train it according to Your precious Word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.